follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is Waddle and Sylvie. Listen now in HD on our app and on ESPN 1000.
Here we are, Waddle and Sylvie, back together again. It is me.
Who is that?
It is I.
Did you alert Big Cat that you were back?
Oh, what, did he rip me again?
Yeah, I mean,
I missed two segments, 2 weeks of him, so he probably went off on me even more.
You know, I think that he exercised his Wisconsin demons. He kind of projected all of his angst onto you. Before being A, out of the country, and B, for being happy that Duke is still in the tournament, Wisconsin isn't. So,
and I gave we had a little text thread going while I was gone. Like that never rests. And I was giving it to him a little bit. We were
both giving it to him
a little bit. Yeah,
I have never seen I told him this, and then he immediately went to the, you know, he took the escape hatch and said, "Well, your team didn't even get in."
Neither did Sylvie's team get in.
That was quite frankly, the worst college basketball game I think I'd seen in 10 years.
Which one? The James Madison, Wisconsin game?
The James Madison, Wisconsin game,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
My eyes were still aching several days later. And it was bad. But you know what? I think that, you know, I know we can talk White Sox baseball if you want, but the tournament's coming on. And we all kind of came to the conclusion that we liked that it was very chalky this weekend, because now the matchups tonight, tomorrow, and this weekend are all going to be, they should be really good matchups. Let's go. Let's do this.
Yeah. I heard Carmen talking about this. The one bad thing about no upsets in the first weekend is that there are no upsets in the first weekend.
Right.
The one good thing, and I know Tyler can talk more about this, and by the way, happy birthday, Tyler Aki. Tyler he turned 20 today.
Thank you very much.
So he's no longer a teenager.
Get to drink next year.
Are you still the middle waddle child? How old is this? 27?
27, yes.
Okay, you're still there.
I think I'm always the middle waddle child, right?
Yeah.
So upper 20s or mid? It's still mid 20s. This is what we always debate.
I'm in the late 20s now. I don't know why, but mentally, I've always considered the gap between 6 and 7 to be significantly larger than the gap between any other two numbers that are in subsequent order. So this is a big one for me.
That's interesting.
But is it the second digit or the first? Because the difference between 60 and 70 is probably going to be pretty big as well.
Yeah, no, like I think the difference between 60 and 70 is, it feels like a bigger jump than 70 to 80 or 30 to 40 or something like that.
Okay. All right. We'll figure that out.
I don't know why. I have no rhyme or reason.
That is an interesting debate there. Yeah. So, Waddle, what did you just turn? 57?
57. I'm 57. I feel every bit the age.
56 to 7 turn bigger for you? Or do you think 57 to 58 will be bigger for you?
I think at this point, I'm just like, I'm counting sands in the hourglass at the moment. I don't think there's a big difference either way. 40 to 50 was like night and day.
That is night and day. I know what he's saying, but like when you enter your 70s, that will be huge. But like when you're 80, you're elderly then.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? What? Like 78, 70s to 80s is big.
I think once you get to mid 70s, aren't you elderly? Like, I don't think you have to take that as a negative, you know, connotation. I think when you are in your mid, I believe that the average life expectancy in the United States is still like 77 for women and 75 for men, isn't it?
I still know like a lot, and my mom was probably listening. I still know a lot of 70-year-olds, like even upper 70s, who are very spry. You know what I mean? Like very spry.
Yeah.
And I don't consider
70s the new 30.
Yes, I don't consider people in their 70s to be elderly. Even
did you start
70s.
Drinking today too? I know I did. Watching White Sox batters swing and miss. I'm on my second beer.
Oh, you're on your second already.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, White Sox baseball, drink up. I mean, isn't that the new tagline?
Well, and again, if you were at the game today, you had very little drinking time.
No, I know. Because fastest game I've ever seen in my entire life.
Because we always talk about this. What's cutoff time? At the beginning of the seventh? Or, like, don't they cut off the time still at the top of the seventh or before the bottom of the seventh? So it was a two-hour game today, 2 hours and 3 minutes, I think.
That is the honestly, I don't believe I've ever witnessed, and I watched the majority of the game, so, like, I consider myself, I watched the whole game. I have never seen a game take less time ever in the history of me watching Major League Baseball, I don't believe.
And like, just when you thought, okay, this game is going by really fast and these later innings are going to slow down because these are when, like, the more meaningful at-bats are going to happen, it sped up even faster.
Yes.
It went even faster. Was today's game a big, like, even though they lost the game, was it, in the grand scheme of one game, was it a, because they're in a building process, was it, in the grand scheme of things, a bigger win because of what Garrett Crochet did, or a bigger loss because, A, they lost the game and their hitters looked awful?
I think it's a win. I do. I have very low expectations for this team this season. But if you can find a way to get Garrett Crochet right and comfortable, and he was fantastic. 6 innings, 8 strikeouts, 5 hits, 1 earned run, no walks. Look, if you find somebody that can do that consistently, you've answered a big question. So, to me, that's a win. This team's not going to win more than 60 games this year, right? Maybe low 60s if they find themselves a hot streak every now and again. So, Garrett Crochet going out there and doing what he did, to me, that was a win. I mean, bar's low, but that's a win.
I think in the grand scheme of things, it's a win, too. Like, I know it's frustrating to watch, especially some of those veteran hitters. Like Paul DeJong, he should not be on this team. He stinks. He can't hit a lick. He hasn't been able to hit a lick in, like, the last year or two. I don't know if they're doing a favor to Tony La Russa, who's still a big advisor, and he's still, like, the former Cardinal who had some good years, and he's a local product. He's not been a good hitter, and he's not competitive offensively, and like, I'd rather watch some of the younger players eventually, once they go that direction, when they bring some of the guys up. I know, you know, one of their top prospects, Colson Montgomery, is probably not going to get here until later in the year because of service time. But I'd rather watch younger players get at bats and struggle, or at least, like, try to grow. I don't want to see them struggle. I'd rather try to see them grow than watching a veteran player who can't hit anymore just go down. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, this is going to be a tough watch, and it's going to be hard to digest because of that, like what you said. Like, it's going to take some time for them to get some of their young guys into the mix. And until then, there's going to be a lot of frustration. That's just the way it is, unless you've already just come to terms with what this is going to be, and it's going to be a very difficult season.
Sox fans, I think, can get around a team that can be young and competitive that's growing. But if you've got aging, decrepit ball players, we're just talking about elderly people, if you've got veteran players who aren't good anymore, just going out there taking up a roster spot just because you're in a transition
stage. What's the purpose?
Right. And, like, those aren't the players. Like, you like the players who are still on the team who were part of this process these last couple of years. Like, obviously, Robert is still a build-around player. Eloy, we'll see what they're going to do. Are they going to trade him at the deadline? Vaughn is still a guy who could have a future on this team. Who knows if they're going to trade him? But when you've got guys on the like DeJong, who I mentioned, I don't know what Nicky Lopez's future is going to be. He's another local product. But what are
Maldonado? I mean, like, everyone. The list goes on forever.
They love Maldonado. Did you hear, like, they love Maldonado because he gets a pitcher through. And, like, he was singing his praises. Grifol was just singing his praises in the postgame show about he credited what he got Crochet through today. So,
we.
You don't buy it?
I do, but it's just like, listen, this is tough. Like, Connor, I wanted to hug Connor. Connor does a great job. Connor's one of my favorite guys to work with, and Connor does a fabulous job. I'm like, I got tears rolling down my face. Like, I mean, it shouldn't be that hard to have to, you know, I mean, it is what it is, but
yeah.
This is a struggle for Sox fans. I feel bad for a lot of them. But like you said, like if there is something, if you can come out of the 2024 season and have something to cling to, whether it's Garrett Crochet as a starter or it's a couple of young players that are developing and show some promise going forward, then I think it's a win. I don't think listen, your general manager took over and said, I don't like my baseball team.
Right.
So, I mean, it's going to be a tough year. And like, it's funny that you asked the question, you know, was what you saw from Crochet a win today, or was it a loss because of the lack of activity with all of the bats? I mean, to me, it's a pretty simple answer. That's a win.
And in rebuilds, let's face it, there are moral victories. Like, I know, like, some people are probably hitting their steering wheel, stuck in traffic right now, saying, well, Sylvie, this is sports, there are no moral victories. When there's a rebuild going on, there are moral victories. And Garrett Crochet, coming off of what he came off of, to start opening day, like I saw Jay Cuda tweet out, you know, he's in rare air what he did on opening day. I don't know if you saw this stat. Left-handed.
Only 11 guys, right?
No, like this is even like for in the company of opening day. Left-handed starting pitchers who had 8 strikeouts and 0 walks on opening day in American League history. It's Garrett Crochet, Mark Mulder, and Gary Peters.
Wow.
2024, 2002, 1969.
Pretty impressive.
Those are like, again, and like you're really whittling it down because it's on opening day and it has to be a left-handed starter. But still, what he did today with eight strikeouts or more, no walks, and then like the only run he allowed was, you know, a two strike single, a stolen base, and then a sacrifice fly, and he was really good, and he went
past.
That's
a win. This is a win. Today was a win for the White Sox, based on what expectations are, for sure.
And thank goodness Kopech got out of that inning too. So, and then the Cubs start their quest for a division title.
Already a half game behind the Reds. I don't know if you saw that. Reds playing a little bingo at home today.
More than bingo, right? Weren't they slugging too?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. They're playing a little. Well, I'm just trying to be, you know, trying to be cautious with it. Playing a little long ball as well. A little dong festival going on in the Queen City. That's how we get the baseball. You remember though, I got a long message from my buddy Phil Vogel today, who says hello. He said, just remember to remind Sylvie that in the history of Major League Baseball, there was a time when the first pitch of the season always began in Cincinnati, and no one was allowed to throw their first pitch in their game until the first pitch had been thrown in Cincinnati. So,
is he angry about that?
No. He's got other things to be, you know, concerned about.
He fixed his Facebook profile yet?
No. He threw his hands in the air and said, "There's nothing I can do about it. I'm done."
Did you
filled?
Hear too?
It's now filled. FILD Vogel on Facebook.
Did you hear, too, about there was someone, too, and it's a partner. I never told you this story. It's a partner, too, of the radio station who my mother-in-law got hacked on Facebook.
Oh, that sucks.
So she got hacked on Facebook, and so whoever hacked her, I don't know why they do these things or what the purpose is. They posted that they're selling a car, and they added me on it too, like all the friends that they were. So this person who's friends with me, who happens to be a partner of the radio station, saw this and started
bidding on the car,
personal messaging my mother-in-law, and was all set to basically pick up the car in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Oh gosh!
And then.
People are horrible.
And then she stopped, or the person stopped messaging with this person. So this person emailed me saying, "Hey, your mother-in-law and I were agreeing on this car. It was a really good deal on a Toyota. Is it still for sale? And can you let me know? Because I was going to go on Monday to go pick it up in Grand Rapids." I'm like, hey, I hate to tell you this. She's been hacked. Yeah. Can you believe that?
Yeah, because people are horrible. Listen, all you got to do is peruse Twitter on football conversations and you realize that people are horrible. Take it a step further into the real world. Get out of the football conversation universe and get out of the quarterback controversy conversation and step into the real world and it gets even worse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But no, so in getting back to what Connor said about drinking whiskey and stuff and then you drinking two beers, I have not started drinking yet. I'm on a Waddle-type streak going back to vacation starting last Tuesday. I've had a drink, at least one drink every night, going back to the 19th of March. And the reason I haven't started yet is because we've got Cubs opening day starting at 6:30. And then the Illini tip off at
late game.
Like 9:05 or something.
Yeah, late
like
game.
I'm fully on their bandwagon.
Listen, you know me. The season doesn't start until till March Madness. Of all of the games I watched, and I watched a ton, I thought the Illini were the most impressive team I've seen so far.
Yeah, and they're a fun team. They're on this roll from the end of the season. They've got this 1-2 punch, and so I'm not. The point is, I'm not starting. And this is like. This is a great time. I like that the tournament is going a little bit later here, where, you know, or baseball starting a little bit earlier. So we've got real baseball. We've got the tournament, and it's not the Final Four yet. It's Sweet 16 action. We've got NBA going on. You know,
Bears had the first pick.
Yeah, we still got Bears conversation. We got everything going on. This is a 3-TV night. And I'm not prematurely opening up any alcoholic beverages because I'm watching stuff tonight till like 11 something at night.
Well, I'm not going to peter out at 8 o'clock, my friend. I'm not a rookie for crying out loud.
No, but I am. You know me. You know I can't start drinking at 6, and then expect to go 5 full hours.
Well, then don't watch White Sox baseball in the afternoon. That's all I could tell you.
All right, so I want to catch up on a few things. We got to find out what Tyler's up to on his birthday, and Bleck is in with in his usual show, and he's going to talk to Tyler, the birthday boy. So we'll cross talk with those guys coming up next. If you want to talk White Sox, if you want to talk any baseball, you want to talk March Madness, you want to talk some Bears, 312-332-3776. Waddle and Sylvie will crosstalk with the guys. Coming up next, it's all brought to you by Steinhoffels.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. This is Waddle and Sylvie on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
All right, it's time for us to crosstalk already. Where's the time gone? With the Bleck and Abdallah show, Tyler's in for Abdallah today on Tyler's birthday. It's all brought to you by Steinhoffels, 4 Chicagoland locations, the newest one in Harwood Heights, not far from the airport. What's going on, boys?
What's up, guys? Happy birthday, Tyler.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Chris, you've got a little different ride today. Yesterday, when we were cross-talking, it all started with Shea immediately screaming.
Screaming at everyone. Did you happen to listen to any of that program on your ride home, Waddle?
I did, on the way home.
Very angry.
Yes. He had a really good line, though, about 5 hours of... Whatever he was talking about, he had a really good line.
What was he talking about? 5 hours.
Was,
would you?
No, it was. Gosh, what was it? Was foreplay? 5 hours of foreplay, right? Wasn't that what it was?
5 hours of foreplay.
Yeah, that's what Shea's all about. Apparently, he's a working man.
Who can deal with that?
Well, he likes
Shea
the work.
Yeah,
he likes the grind.
Well, no, there's no chance Shea's put 5 hours of foreplay.
Isn't that what
He's not putting Chris? 50 minutes of foreplay.
I think that's what it was. It was a deal breaker.
If Caleb Williams isn't good by week two, Shea's going to lose his mind. But 5 hours of foreplay, he's all in.
He's all in.
Exactly.
What I appreciate about him is he may flip and flop but he has the same passion for whichever perspective he has on a given moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's more like Cap than he tends to to admit. Yeah.
He's going to say those are fighting words, Sylvie. Don't do that to him.
By the way, tomorrow morning, Cap and Shay.
Oh, hell
together.
Yeah. Together. Yeah. Spring trading continues. Love it.
You see, but the thing is he may have different takes than Cap, but he'll also go so hard on one take where when he's wrong, he's then forced to go so hard the other way.
Yeah, that definitely happens. The takes were flying last night, Sylvie. Oh, they were just...
Was he over-caffeinated again, too, Chris?
Over-caffeinated. He's screaming at me. He's screaming at the listeners. I had to tell him... I had to say, hey, why are you yelling at everyone? You don't have to yell. You have a microphone. That's what this is for. Like, what are you yelling for? And then he calmed it down a little. But yeah, and then he starts talking about 5 hours of foreplay. I mean, the whole thing was just a mess.
He hit both barrels loaded. There's no question.
Yeah, he absolutely did.
That's unbelievable.
How about the happy opening day? I mean, the greatest day in sports today. How great.
Yes, that was,
wow, that's their sarcasm. Always,
you know,
yeah.
I was black when you were at the bar today and when Cap was signing off. I thought about that twice today, that take. Because it is a glorious day, and it's a fun day. But like that first day of the NFL season,
it's so much better.
And like that is just wall to wall activity.
Yeah, and there's consequences to it. Like the Sox lose today, 1-0. All right, we'll have a game in 2 days. There'll be another game.
Opening day is one of those sports days though, where it's only cool if you're in the atmosphere of it all. Like you were down at Cork and Carry earlier today, Bleck. It's night and day between being a part of the event versus just kind of watching on TV.
Say what you want about the team on the field. White Sox fans showed out today. The bar was packed for Carmen and Yurko. Packed. And people were drinking. They were into it. It was good. It was a good time. And Tyler's right.
Chris, what I said earlier, White Sox baseball, drink up.
Yeah, I mean, but Tyler's right, though, because if you're there in the atmosphere and you're going to the game, it's a lot of fun. But, like, if you're sitting on your couch, like, I don't know, is opening day, Sylvie, for you with the Cubs opening in Texas with the Rangers, is it as eventful as actually going to Wrigley on Monday?
Well,
I don't know if it is.
It's not as eventful, but it's still symbolic. Like, I still think, like... Don't take this the wrong way or the phrasing here. You watch it harder than you watch most other baseball games. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think you put more into it. You watch the first baseball game like you watch a football game.
Sure.
You know, because it is one of 162, but I think you're rooting for the first game a little bit harder than you root for the other 161. And then you kind of settle into the season.
I will say this, though. Even if the Cubs poo their shorts in historic fashion tonight, it will not come anywhere close to the feeling I had in the pit of my stomach after watching the Bears completely poo down their shorts against Green Bay to open the season, knowing that there's only 16 left.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, every game in football has, it just feels like it has more meaning because there's so many fewer games.
Here's what's, I was being sarcastic about this being the best sports day on the calendar year, but I'll give baseball credit for this. Opening day is an event, and the baseball season turns into a malaise and it just fades into the background. Baseball needs more event days, and the event days are fun. Like, the playoffs are fun. Opening day is fun. You know, the All-Star break, you know, sometimes that can be fun. But, like, there needs to be more events throughout the season. You know, like, we talk about this with basketball. Basketball's trying to come up with all these gimmicks in season to figure out how to get attention to the product. That's what baseball should be doing. Baseball's the sport that needs something midway through or in the early stages of the season to, like, get the attention. Like, today's great because everyone pays attention to it happening because it's opening day. Now, will people be paying attention tomorrow? That's a different question.
Let's have casino night hosted by Shohei.
I knew you were going to say that. I was going to make an Ohtani bet joke.
No problem.
Come on, let's do it. Like, you know what? Let's embrace this.
Well, baseball needs a little drama.
I actually think an in-season tournament in baseball would be entertaining.
Yeah, I think people would go for that.
probably better than the NBA.
I think so.
I think it would be more interesting than the NBA's in-season tournament.
I'm trying to think
Tyler,
of like the
you
logistics.
Got all, you all revved up to talk about dismantling divisions in football as well.
Sylvie, that was the other thing. The young guys yesterday are just, they don't care about anything in sports. Dismantle, don't do this, we're only chasing championships.
Black and I had to get them off our lawn yesterday.
It was pathetic.
But you know me, I've been on the bandwagon in baseball to realigning divisions. I've always wanted the Cubs and Sox in the same division.
Well, it wasn't that. This is what my biggest gripe was: a team can have a worse record than another team and either not get into the playoffs because of it or not host a playoff game because of it. And that's the thing that I'm not necessarily saying let's get rid of divisions. What I was saying yesterday was I want to see the seven best records in football get into the playoffs each year.
I don't hate that. Did Waddle poo-poo it?
No, but they were also they're
yes,
against
I
the
did.
Rivalries of the divisions.
That.
Divisions matter.
Yeah, yes. Well, yeah, that,
like you don't,
that's true.
You
yeah.
don't in Major League Baseball. You play everybody,
but you
everybody
keep the
plays
divisions.
Everybody.
You'll still keep the divisions.
You can't do that in the NFL.
But I do like what Tyler. Like I always hated when Seattle got to host that playoff game against New Orleans simply because they won their division.
And as I said to Tyler yesterday, I said I will definitely be willing to sit down and talk with you about that portion of this conversation. But when you start talking about getting rid of the divisional play, then I'm going to have to escort you out of the building. Yeah, because I want, you know, listen, it's not my fault that the Bears can't beat the Packers, but I still want the Bears and the Packers to play twice every year.
Yes, yeah, you can't take. And I still hate that the Hawks and the Red Wings don't play.
Oh, that's the worst.
Many
that's
times.
The worst thing in sports. Yeah, the fact that they put them in different conferences, two rivals like that, that's the worst.
Yes, I hate that. I hate that.
Sylvie, I know you were out of the country for a bit here this week. You do come back to a situation, though, where people are upset that the Bears might take Caleb Williams because of his phone case.
I heard that. And then more on the nails, too. Yeah.
Did you guys see Caleb has a message for those people? And,
a message for the haters?
The people that think he was wearing lip gloss. He said he has the pink lips and your girl likes it. I'm serious. No, there's a video going around.
Oh, you awesome. Say now your girl
likes it.
Oh,
it's cocky. I love it. That's great.
Yeah,
he's hearing the noise
the way,
and he's
guys,
saying, "Guess what? I'm better than all of it."
What does the NFL do? The pregame shows before every game kicks off. What do they show as guys arrive?
The walk-ins,
lip gloss.
What are guys doing?
It's a fashion show.
Exactly.
Yes,
like,
yes.
What's the difference?
Sure.
There is no difference.
Who was the player this year on the Bears who wore lace? I forgot.
Kyler Gordon.
It was Justin
Fields.
I thought it was Justin.
Was it Justin Fields? Oh, don't tell the Justin Fields supporters
this.
We
had a whole thing about that on the pregame show. We sent it to Thayer. We leaned into it. We're like, look, Justin's wearing lace.
We sent it to Thayer.
He's coming in. Like,
I remember that.
Like, really?
Thayer sent it back.
Like, rejected.
No one, that doesn't play.
She's texting with there. I'm going to ask him about it.
So let's not worry about we all.
Let's win some games.
Yes, let's spin the football.
Let's spin it and win some games.
That's all I care about. What the fingers do is spin the football.
Whoa.
Yes.
Huh? What?
5 hours worth of football.
Yes. Yeah. All right, Tyler, have a happy birthday. What are you doing
after
the
show?
I'm getting dinner with my girlfriend, watching some games tonight, so it should be a fun night.
Where are you going, White Castle?
Yeah, some shrimp nibblers for the 27th birthday tonight. Yeah.
Is that what are you doing for dinner then?
We're going out for dinner to White Castle. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Have a great show.
Thank
you, guys.
Talk to you guys later.
For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Thursday night.